Well, we're moving on. Praise the Lord. So we're now in morning session two. We're actually on message two, but I want to first go back to message one. I want to look at a couple more items there and just to emphasize a few things that were mentioned yesterday in this morning session. So if we can take a look, it's on page 49, and then we'll go into message two, which is on page 55. So the title of that message again was Seizing the Opportunity to Preach the Gospel During Our College Years. So we have to seize the opportunity, right? And then Roman numeral 1 said, in order to preach the gospel, preaching the gospel should not be a work, movement, or activity, but a normal part of our daily life, our Christian living. Amen. So we realize the gospel is not a work, it's not an activity, but it should be a normal part of our daily Christian living. Right? As the brother spoke yesterday, as we're abiding in the vine, out of our abiding, what should issue is fruit. We should be bearing fruit. Don't you want to bear fruit? Right? This is the expression of the triune God of our abiding in the vine. So this is a normal part of our Christian living, not just an activity. And of course, whenever we think of this, I think of our brother Dick Taylor, right? You think about Dick when we think about the gospel and, you know, all his stories. You just realize it comes out of his enjoyment of the Lord, right? I don't know if he ever has a planned activity to go preach the gospel, right? All his testimonies are just wherever, right? While he's jogging, while he's in the grocery store, on the plane, and so on, right? And this should be our experience, right? Just the normal part of our Christian life, as we're enjoying the Lord, contacting the Lord, abiding in the vine, we bear fruit. Spontaneously, right? And then under this Roman numeral, the first point was, the normal Christian life is a life that bears fruit. So why do we sometimes feel abnormal as Christians, right? This, you know, we have some enjoyment of the Lord, we're going on, but yet there's just something, we just feel like we're missing something. You know, there's just something missing. And what, you know, what that is, many times it's just our lack of fruit bearing, right? There's just a lack of fruit bearing. So we realize that we need to be abiding in the Lord. We need to be enjoying the Lord. And if we're not bearing fruit, then we realize there's something wrong with our abiding, right? There's something wrong with our enjoyment. So it should be a normal part of our Christian life to bear fruit. And I wanted to read a little something. I was just reading this actually recently, and I think it goes along with this real well. It's in the Collected Works of Witness Lee, Volume 1, 1967, Messages. And this portion here, it's on page 548, it says, if we do not bear fruit, we will eventually lose our appetite. That is, the Father will take us away from the enjoyment of Christ. We will no longer have the fellowship between Christ as the vine and us as the branches. We all must pay our attention to fruit bearing, because to not bear fruit causes us to lose our appetite. This is the thing that touched me. To not bear fruit causes us to lose our appetite. Causes us to lose our appetite, the enjoyment of Christ, and our fellowship with Christ. So this is why we need to pay attention to this matter of bearing fruit. If we don't bear fruit, eventually we just lose our appetite. We lose our enjoyment of the Lord. Do you want to lose your enjoyment of the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, we need to pay attention to this matter of bearing fruit. And one other portion, it says, it's easy for a young person to bring his classmates to the Lord in groups. This is to bear fruit in a cluster, not only one at a time. We should learn the secret of how to do this. The young people must not miss the opportunity. While a young person is in school, there are many fish around him. So he should catch one or two and bring them to the Lord. To go out to the streets to catch people for Christ is difficult, but to do it in a school is easy. The young people should do their best to carry this out. Now listen to this. They may even need to sign a promise that they will bring a certain number of souls to the church in the coming year. If we ask the young people to sign a promise, it will be easy for them to bring in a surplus. So how about signing a promise? You ever consider that? Sign a promise. Then it becomes easy. If you sign a promise, it becomes easy for you to bring in a surplus. They will fulfill their word, and at the end of the year, they will come with rejoicing, testifying of how many they gained. It is easy for the young ones to bring in their classmates and schoolmates. Now listen to this. If they endeavor to do this, they will be hungry for Christ every day. Amen. Oh, endeavor to do this. Amen. Right? Whether you're successful or not, only the Lord knows. But at least we can endeavor to do it. Amen. Endeavor to do this. Amen. And then, what? They will be hungry for Christ every day. The more fruit they bear, the more appetite they will have. Therefore, we encourage the young people to go out in this way. We desire to see a church full of young people. So how about a promise? How about endeavoring at least? Right? We need to have a goal. Right? We just can't say, well, you know, Lord, I hope I get one or two this year. No, we need to have a goal. We need to have a definite target and even definite plan, steps to carry this out. We need to bear fruit. Otherwise, we risk losing our appetite, losing the enjoyment of Christ. So I hope you would all consider this. Amen. And then one other thing on this outline number one, which was really good, is I really appreciate how it emphasized very much seizing the opportunity. Amen. Right? You're in your college years. You need to seize the opportunity. And then in the Roman numeral 2, it says the college years are a unique time and opportunity. A unique time and opportunity. And then also, in point D under Roman numeral 2, it says, we should forget about everything else and grab the opportunity to take care of this one thing, and that's getting the new students. And then on the focus of this message, it says, our college years are a golden opportunity. And again, how we should seize the opportunity to go forth and gain our fellow students. So you have seizing the opportunity, a unique time and opportunity. Grab the opportunity, right? A golden opportunity. So again and again, this is an opportunity. Amen. These are your college years. Why is it such a golden opportunity? Because it only comes once in a lifetime. You only have those 4 or 5 years while you're in college. And, you know, several have come to me after they've graduated. With regrets, right? That they didn't seize the opportunity when they were in college. So it's here today for you, right? Especially, I know we have over 20 freshmen, ones that will be freshmen this coming fall. What about your next 4 or 5 years? Seize the opportunity. Grab this opportunity. It's only here for 4 or 5 years and it's gone. Praise the Lord. So I hope we would pick up this burden to really seize this opportunity. Amen. And don't miss it. Yeah. Don't miss it. Amen. Don't miss it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't miss this opportunity. You will only regret if you do. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the second outline. And let's turn to the verses on this outline, Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. And let's just go ahead and read those verses together, okay? Amen. Amen. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be have been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. And let's read the title of message 2. Interceding in twos or threes and persevering in prayer. So we want to spend some time here talking about twos or threes. And also, Brother Michael will share some on this matter of persevering in prayer. So this matter of twos and threes. You know, if you look at this passage we just read, and actually in verse 16 also there's a couple of mentions here of twos or threes. You have one or two more. You have two or three. You have two of you. You have two or three. So this is mentioned at least three or four times in these verses. So when something is mentioned three or four times, you better pay some attention to it. So twos or threes. So what are the twos and threes? Well, that's you and your companion. So every one of you needs a companion. None of us is whole by ourselves. So we need someone else to make us whole. Right? And I appreciate it. I was reading in Genesis 2:18, this verse. And does anybody know what Genesis 2:18 says? Right. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. So if God said it, don't you believe it? It's not good for man to be alone. And then he says, I will make him a helper. I will make him a helper. You need a helper. Don't you need a helper? Amen. I need a helper. Amen. We all need a helper. I will make you a helper. So it's not good for man to be alone. We all need a helper. And, you know, just during the training time, this past training time in Anaheim, my wife went out with my daughter for about 2.5 weeks. And so when they left, my son is still home, but he's not around very much, working in school and stuff. So I was alone. And I said, oh, wow, this is pretty good. You know, no one to tell me to take the trash out and go get the mail and take the laundry basket to the laundry room. And so, you know, I it's like, wow. And my daughter's not around, you know, to kill the bugs in the closet and calling on me to do all that stuff. but anyway, so I was alone. And you know, it was really nice, you know, for the first day. Second day, third day, I was lonely. Third day, I realized I need a helper. So, you know, you might think it's good to be alone, but after one or two days, you realize you need a helper. So we all need a helper, brothers and sisters. So, especially you freshmen, when you start this semester, or even before, if possible, get yourself a companion. That should be your number one priority. Is to find a companion on your campus or in your locality that you can pray together with, that you can fellowship with, you can go preach the gospel with, right? You need a companion. So that should be your number one priority as a freshman. And of course, all of us should make sure that we have a companion, whatever campus we're on. And, you know, and of course, a lot of the campuses already have ones there that are serving. They can help you to get a companion. Of course, if you're a freshman and there's another freshman, brother or sister, that's your companion. You know, don't consider too much. Just get a companion so that you can pray together, fellowship together, and pursue the Lord together with. So this should be your number one priority when you start school. So you need to do it. You just need to do it. Okay? Amen. And I lost one of my outlines here. Okay, let's look at the outline here and go to point number one. And let's read that together.
In order to preach the gospel and bear fruit, we first need to intercede in twos or threes, bringing people to the Lord with binding and releasing prayers.
Amen. So what's the first thing we need to do? We need to intercede. How? In twos or threes. Right? Of course, always, first of all, is always prayer. First of all, prayer. First, we need to intercede. And then when we're in twos and threes and we pray in this way, we can bind and we can release. We can pray binding and releasing prayers. The binding and releasing prayers come with the twos or threes. Right? That gives you the authority. And what are binding and releasing prayers? Of course, they're authoritative prayers. They're fighting prayers. So you need your companion to pray in this way. We need to do a lot of fighting. We need to do a lot of binding, a lot of releasing. Don't you want your friends to be delivered? Don't you want your classmates to be freed? Right? We need to bind and we need to loose. We need to free them by our binding and releasing prayers. So this binding and releasing prayer comes with the twos or threes. Amen. Okay, A says to intercede is to approach God in a personal and confiding manner, to interfere before God in others' affairs for their benefit. So we're intervening and interceding for others, for their benefit. And of course, usually we're told, what, to mind our own business. Don't meddle in other people's affairs. But no, that's not what God's thought is. Right? We need to be involved in other people's affairs for their benefit, for their rescue, for their salvation, for their freedom. Right? So don't worry about meddling into their affairs in this way. We need to bring their affairs before God. Right? So that they would be released. And of course, we have the reference here in Genesis 18. This was Abraham interceding on behalf of Lot, right? He kept going to God on behalf of Lot for his benefit, that he would be rescued from Sodom. So we need to pray in the same way, brothers and sisters, in this way. Amen. And then B says, our primary cooperation with our Father God is to maintain a consistent and persistent prayer life so that he can move and save the people around us. So what's our primary cooperation? To maintain a consistent and persistent prayer life. And I like this, and you should underline this. Save the people around us. Save the people around us. Don't wonder where you're going to find people. Right? If you're sitting in a class, you know, and you're sovereignly paired up with somebody in that class for a project or whatever, don't wonder about who the Lord's going to give you. The Lord has sovereignly arranged that person to be with you, and this is the one around you. So you need to pray for this one around you. The Lord has sovereignly arranged that we would be around certain ones, and we have to believe this is God's sovereignty, and we need to pray for these ones that God has put around us. Amen. Okay, number one says, I got about 5 minutes, so when we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There is no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, and expound the scriptures to the Lord, right? And just tell the Lord what you want. Lord, release Tommy. Lord, save him. Loose his tongue to call on your name. We don't need to give the Lord, you know, sometimes we're like lawyers, we give opening statements, closing arguments, we give all the details. You know, this is the way we are. But no, just tell the Lord what you want. And then, of course, the reference there is in Matthew 6. The Gentiles were just babbling. Their prayers were just babbling. Oh, sometimes our prayers are just babbling. But we don't want prayers that were just babbling, right? And then, of course, in Luke 18 with the blind man, the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He didn't go into, you know, details telling him, Lord, you know how I was blind from my birth and how I was mistreated all my life and so on and so forth. No, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So let's be very specific and definite with the Lord in our prayer. Number two, we do not need to pray too long. Instead, we should simply mention those for whom we are burdened in a definite way by name. Okay, we need to pray. See, as we need to pray the prayer of twos or threes, which is the binding and releasing prayer. We talked about that a little bit. In the twos or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan, through our prayer in harmony. So in this verse in Matthew 12, we first bind the strong man, and then we plunder his house. So we have to bind the strong man. And his house, you know, these people, they are in the house of the strong man, which is Satan. They're in Satan's kingdom. And actually, and they're his goods. And if you read the footnote there, it says, they're his apparatus. They're his instruments. They're his goods. They're his stuff. It says they're his stuff. But we need to gain these people for the Lord. We need to release them. We need to bind him and pray that these ones would be released, that they would become God's instruments. God's apparatus, God's stuff, God's goods. So we need to pray in this way. And then last point, we should not give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers, touching heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. And this is a key thing, in harmony. We need to pray in harmony. When you're praying with your companion, don't be questioning, why is she praying that prayer? You know, questioning their prayer, just be in harmony, be in oneness, and the Lord will answer your prayer. Amen. Better let Brother continue. Oh, sorry.
Our primary cooperation with our Father God is to maintain a consistent and persistent prayer life so that He can move and save the people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need a consistent and persistent prayer life, right?
So that He can save the people around us. And really, this prayer life we're talking about is not mainly for ourselves. This is mainly for others. And we'll see in the second Roman numeral that as we begin to pray for others and for the Lord's interests, we really enter into the warfare. Okay? And the way to maintain our prayer life, we must have companions. And we'll touch a little bit on Daniel. And, you know, it was very clear that Daniel had companions. And I really believe just through experience and through, you know, through the ministry and through looking at some verses in Daniel, I'll show you, that the reason Daniel was able to stand in the way he was, even all the way through his life unto the end, was because of his companions. And there's at least one definite verse that says that he prayed with his companions. Okay? But we'll get into that. How about we look at Roman numeral 2, and let's read this.
We need to persevere in prayer, praying that God would open to us the Lord's word to speak the mystery of Christ.
So we need to pray that God would open to us a door for the word. This is Colossians 4, 2 through 3, okay? So the fact that we need to pray that the door would be opened, what does that imply? That the door is closed, or at least that the door may be closed, right? So it implies that there's some kind of resistance right from the beginning, right? And I want to bring out a couple more verses here. Someone grab Matthew 12:29. Actually, I have it here. Let me read that one to you. And then someone get 2 Corinthians 4:4, okay? I'll read Matthew 12:29. Or how can anyone enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will thoroughly plunder his house. Okay, does anyone know what plunder means? Sorry? Yeah, but actually it's more than just rob, because when you rob, you don't plunder. Plunder means that you like kill someone and then take all their stuff, right? I mean, plunder means it's a robbing through warfare. It's more than merely robbing, you see. But anyway, so plunder is a very strong word, right? The Lord uses this. Okay, someone read 2 Corinthians 4:4, whoever has it.
And the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what does the God of this age do? What's his job related to the unbelievers on campus? What is his job? To blind the thoughts of the unbelievers. Okay, Bobby, can you help me out for a minute? Can you stand here and put this over your head? And just stand there. Okay, so this is the situation of all the students on our campus who are not believers. Is this normal? Is to be blind normal? Actually, the normal situation is that people would hear or see the gospel and that they would believe. Actually, everybody should believe. Every man normally should believe the gospel. But the problem is we have an enemy, and he is all the time blinding, right? So if I show, you know, I say, Bobby, okay, Bobby, read this verse. You know, can't you see that? You know, can't you see Christ? How come you won't pray with me? You know, how come you won't receive the Lord, Bobby? Well, he's blinded, right? But then if we pray, right, we pray with our companions, and then Bobby can read the verse, right? The God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine. The one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we have to realize, how can we preach the gospel to others if we don't pray? You see, if we don't pray, actually, there's not a right way or a wrong way to preach the gospel. You know, I remember in college, I would go out with this brother named Jose Corral. He had been saved off of OU. And we would go out and we would just stammer, fall all over ourselves, and we'd barely get out the name Jesus. And people would pray with us. And we would be astounded. Why do you want to pray with us? Right? We cannot even clearly present anything, right? But people would get saved. And the reason is because we were praying, right? And as we pray, the enemy is bound, particularly with our companions, right? Actually, it's very interesting. Related to the enemy being bound, we always need companions. It's hard to find an example of a lone person praying in the Bible and the enemy being bound. Okay, so let's look here. Lord Jesus. Okay, so A says we need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for the prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. And I enjoy what Bruce shared. Listen, saints, we need to do it. Do we believe the word or not? You know, historically, our problem with the gospel and with things like this is we always apply it to me, myself, and I. And if me, myself, and I can't do it, then there's no way it can be carried out, right? And honestly, we have a lot of pride and we don't like helpers. Even husbands and wives have a lot of pride, and the Lord has to bring them through things so that they really receive the help from one another, right? Anyway, we need helpers, okay? Now, I want to show you some verses in Daniel. This is really touching here. This is Daniel 2, 17 and 18. And this is after Nebuchadnezzar made a very difficult request. He had this dream of the golden image. He didn't know how to interpret it. This is the Babylonian king here. So he tells all of his wise men, I'm going to kill you and make your house a dung heap, unless you tell me what I dreamed and its interpretation. You see, that's pretty reasonable, right? Not only do you have to tell me what it means, but you have to tell me the dream itself, right? And so, of course, nobody could do that. And so when Daniel heard about this, Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, they were all included in these wise men. So they would have been killed also. Okay, so listen to what Daniel did. I really like this. This is Daniel 2, 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Isn't that good? Where did he go? He went to where? His house. And his companions were where? They were in his house. Maybe Daniel lived in the brother's house. Think about it. I never noticed this before. I was getting into this. Either that or they were just at his house a lot. He went to his house and made these things known, right? And to his companions. And then verse 18 says, that they might request compassions from before the God of the heavens concerning this mystery. Okay, and then the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel, and Daniel was able to interpret this dream that actually was a great revelation that God would come in and judge all of human government through Christ. Anyway, saints, we need to have companions. Otherwise, the enemy has a way to frustrate our gospel preaching and also even our prayer for others. Okay? I really appreciate this because in the past, saints, we need to really appreciate these outlines. In the past, I've always applied many of these things to myself individually. And that's a sure way for defeat and discouragement. We really need the companions. Okay, so even this next point, making a list of our acquaintance, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues, and pray over that name list, that's in the context of the point above it, right? And Roman numeral 1. In other words, that's in the context of our companions. We need to carry out all of these things with our companions, okay? Making this list really helps. A lot of times we don't realize how many people are around us, like Brother Bruce was sharing. You know, we have so many people around us. We're in how many classes a week, and we sovereignly sit in that same place, you know, week after week. We need to make a list of those people. And I like what it says under point 2. We should just mention their name right up above. It says we don't have to pray in a complicated way, but just mention their name. Okay. And then C says we should write down their names in our record book and continually bring them to the Lord through prayer. A record book will help us to know whether or not our prayers are answered and will help us to be specific and persistent in our prayers. And these verses, Philippians 1, 3, and 4, let me read this to you really quick. These say, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in my every petition, and on behalf of you all, making my petition with joy. And what I was touched with in this point is this, that, you know, many times in my prayer time, I would mainly focus on myself. And honestly, I didn't get a whole lot of joy from focusing on myself. But I've had the experience again and again praying for others. I had a habit of one time of praying over the phone list for the saints or praying for new ones. But every time I enter into this practice of praying for others, I just get filled with joy. It seems like I get to the Lord easier praying for others than I do praying for myself. Anyway, that is something that I have experienced. And also, as we write down these names, we will know, you know, if we don't write it down, how can we know whether the Lord answered our prayer? It helps us to pray specifically. You know, as we're with a person, we need to pray them step by step through things. Many times people are going through things or they need certain things and we realize that. You know, they have a problem with relatives. They get poisoned. If we just pray in a general way, it's very hard for the Lord to move, or maybe the Lord moves. Maybe it's just very hard for us to realize that He's answering our prayers. Okay. D says this. How about we read D together?
We must be watchful to fight for a time to pray and to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus. Okay, so we have to be watchful. And several verses use this word, watchful, related to our prayer, to fight for a time to prayer and to pray and to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers. We have to realize Satan has a very definite strategy to cut off our prayers. If we don't pray for people, there's no way for them to get saved. It's very interesting. The God of the universe, who's the centrality and the universality of God's economy, right? Like Brother Mark shared with us. The universe even subsists in Him, right? He's limited Himself to our prayer. There's no one who gets saved that hasn't been prayed for. Do you realize that? No one gets saved without a prayer passing through man to God. Okay? So the enemy, his strategy is to cut off our prayer. Okay? And so if you look at Ephesians 6:18, we use this verse a lot for prayer reading, receiving the word by means of all prayer. But there's another thing in this verse, or several other things. But at the end it says, watching unto this. Okay, it says praying at every time in spirit and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So strictly speaking, that's talking about praying for others. You see, what do we have to watch unto? We have to watch unto our prayer life that's for others, for new ones, for the saints, for one another. Why do we have to watch? That implies there's some kind of attack. You know, this watching is like watchmen on the walls of the ancient cities. You have to have watchmen all the time or you'll get attacked and destroyed. Okay? Now there's another verse here. Daniel 6:7 under 1. Let me read 1 subpoint 1 to you. Among God's children, prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked. Okay? Now Daniel 6:7. If you have an Old Testament, look at this verse. This is really interesting. I've never seen this verse quite like this before. So this is Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. I'll read it to you, but look at it if you have it. All the chief ministers of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, have taken counsel together that the king should establish a statute and make firm an edict that anyone who makes a petition within the next 30 days to any god or man besides you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. Okay? So, okay, this is very interesting because it shows there was a deliberate council that took place to try to trap Daniel in his prayer. Actually, who they were targeting was Daniel and probably his companions, because both Daniel got caught and his companions, right? His companions got, this is where the fiery furnace took place, and this is also where the lion's den took place, okay? So the enemy's whole strategy was to catch Daniel and was to in the prayer of Daniel and his companions, okay? And it's very interesting. The kingdom of Babylon, what do you think that represents in the Bible? Represents the kingdom of Satan. The king of Babylon represents Satan, right? We know this in typology. So there's a council, and they established a statute. And it's very interesting. Sometimes, they said that anyone makes a petition within the next 30 days. Right, Bobby, it's just 30, just don't pray for 30 days. Right? We're not talking about the rest of your life. We're just talking about 30 days. Right? So there's all kinds of strategies the enemy uses. Sometimes we go on vacation. Right? The next 30 days. Right? Or some kind of hiccup in our schedule. And if you're a person who exercises regularly, you know that the longer you don't exercise, the less your likelihood is of getting back into it, right? Very much like our prayer life. If you're a runner, if you're out a week, then you can still get back in pretty easily. If you're out 2 weeks, it's a little harder. If you're out a month, it starts getting quite a bit harder. If you're out 2 months, you know, your chance of getting back into your daily schedule is it grows smaller and smaller. So the enemy has a very deliberate strategy to cut off. And of course, one thing that he did is there was an idol raised up. And so, of course, that's a more obvious strategy. The enemy would try to distract us by other things. But what I was touched with here, saints, is there's a very deliberate strategy to cut off our prayer. The same way for our Bible reading, but even more our prayer, you see. If we don't pray for others, the Lord cannot move. Okay, and then Matthew 26:41 is also a verse here. And this is when, right before the Lord is crucified, this is very interesting. The disciples were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think it was mainly Peter, James, and John, I believe, here. But he asked them to pray, to watch. Okay, there was a warfare going on related to the cross. So he asked him to watch and pray. This word again, watch and pray. I was really touched about this. That you may not enter into temptation. And what was the temptation here? Do you remember? Sleep. Right? So the enemy fights, it's not just from without, but many times the enemy fights from within. It's time to pray, but I'm so tired. Right? And so they're sleeping. And the Lord comes back again. This happened like 3 times. Right? Were you not able to watch and pray with me 1 hour? That's what he... You know, this is at his time of need, but, you know, maybe we have a companion and he's very needy, but we're tired. Right? We have to learn how to fight. Of course, at this time, they were not yet regenerated. They were different after they were regenerated. But yet, we still have the same kind of temptation. From within, we have to learn how to push through our emotions, our contrary emotions, even our tired feeling. You know, I almost never feel like going to a prayer meeting. But after I get, after the prayer meeting, I always feel charged up, right? You almost never feel like reading the Bible, but you never regret that you did it, right? We have to learn, you know, the Christian life is a life of denying yourself. All four Gospels, very few things are mentioned in all four Gospels, but all four Gospels mention that if anyone wants to follow me, right, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Lord Jesus. Okay, let's read this last point together. If we place a high value on our prayer life,
we would watch unto it and arrange time for it. No matter how busy we may be, we would still have time to pray.
Amen. And I just want to read a little bit from the excerpts on this. This is really touching. No matter how busy, are you too busy for the God of the universe? The Lord is really after me about this one. Listen to this. Actually, we are too busy. Okay, he's talking about when we're praying. Actually, we are too busy to go to the door or answer the phone during our time of prayer. We are busy in contacting our Lord, our King. Since we are with our King, how can we go away from Him to attend other things? Right? So perseverance, it says, it means to be very strong in our insistence. We should always keep our prayer time. During this time, we should consider that we are away from home because we are busy with our King, with our Lord. All right, so sometimes I've been in my time with the Lord and someone calls, like maybe Brother Ricky calls. Oh, it's Brother Ricky. I have to answer it. Sorry, Lord. You're the God of the universe, but Brother Ricky called. And of course, we honor the brothers, right? But on the other hand, who are we with? Do we have a registration? Who we're with? We're with the King, right? But we would say, you know, sorry, my mom's calling, or you know, whatever it is, right? But when we're with the Lord, we should consider we are not home. And even in Matthew 6:6, it says, when you pray to your Father who is in secret, it says, go into your private room and then do what? Shut your door. Very interesting. It's not just enough to be in a private room. You have to shut the door. That means you need to shut out everything else. That private time with the Father is the most important thing. Amen. So we need to establish this kind of prayer time. And then this verse in Daniel, I want to end with this verse here. This is really touching. Daniel 6:10. I have it here. This verse always convicts me. The word always in it convicts me. Okay. Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, this is when the writing about the prayer had been signed. He went to his house in his upper room. This is his private room. He had windows open toward Jerusalem. And 3 times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And this last praise is really touching. Because he had always done so previously. Right? So Daniel had a habit of prayer. And probably even that habit had something to do with his companions. I really feel that way. Anyway, saints, may we gain our companions, and may we enter into this kind of prayer. This kind of prayer will really determine how fruitful we are in the success of our gospel preaching. Okay, so maybe we can have some overflow. Amen.